Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course, that's the name football, of the show. The other name is off topic.
But this is football.
What you want, we've got in my heart to listen, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games. And you know, we talk about the latest goings, more so than any other, and our Mountain West matters. Well, will you? You listen to this podcast too. And you rant about this podcast too. Just a side where Jeremy analyzes some matches, and Kiss can grin the bridges. We do some good interviews. And you know, from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Esty, they're calling out our name. Where will you? You listen to this podcast too. And you love this podcast too.
Welcome into the latest Mountain West Connection podcast show. Jeremy Moss here, hanging out with Matt Kennerly. Website, mwcconnection.com. Facebook, Mountain West Connection. Twitter. Hey, if you don't like us on Twitter, you don't have to follow us or interact with us. That's also MWC Connection. How you doing today?
Oh, you know, my team lost yesterday. My team lost today. My fantasy team is winning.
Who's your team? The Niners?
Sadly, yes.
Who did they play today?
They played the Carolina Panthers.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
My Texans decided to kick field goals and get a victory, so I'm happy with that.
Yeah, so I mean, kind of a mixed bag on the weekend as far as everything is concerned, but I get, you know, overall I can't complain.
What about Saturday morning before the games, the pregame action we had?
Oh, yeah. Well, contrary to popular belief, we do not record this podcast from our basements.
Well, hold on. That's not entirely true. At the moment, I am not. I am in my own home, my own house, upstairs. I do have a basement downstairs because not Utah. Again, not in California. There are basements in this area. So sometimes I am in my basement typing away. So.
Yeah, I mean. But I mean, out here in California, though, nobody builds houses with basements. So.
You're dummies.
So shut up.
For those who don't follow us on Twitter, maybe you should sometimes. Because here's what I've noticed over the past nearly, almost a decade of doing some sort of this iteration. There's three fan bases that apparently don't like us in rotating bases. Boise State, San Diego State, and the most recent addition, Colorado State. Getting all uppity about the Big 12.
That's true.
And also, I know this is not everybody, so I know our good friend Rich Kurtzman, who poked fun at us, and we poked back. Ian Cunningham used to write with us. I know Matt Stevens, who's now – oh, wait, not – yeah, well, him as well, but I mean, Stephen Cohen, who writes for the Seattle Post-Intelligence. Yes, we actually had somebody write on our website get a real job doing this stuff. He pokes fun at us at Ram stuff, as we do back and forth. Have a sense of humor, but when we say that you don't have a good quarterback, it's not us hating on your team. Is that accurate?
Well, I mean, when we talked in our preview show that Colorado State literally had the worst team quarterback rating in the nation, that wasn't rhetoric.
That's a fact.
Not anymore. We'll get to that game in a little bit.
We will.
But at the time, it was, you know. So I try not to take too many shots that aren't at least based in some kind of reality.
Yeah. I mentioned some guys from Colorado, they're like, when they played the opener.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Matt Stevens, who I mentioned before. He put out a thing about Swiss cheese, just because, kind of joking, and people get up in arms and throw in hissy fits because you cover the home team, you have positive spins. He's like, it's a joke. And yes, I'm trying to find that, but this game is very difficult. And just shut up. The ones that are replying to us, Here's what I don't get. Matt, do you have people you hate or I know or stuff you don't enjoy but you still kind of follow a little bit? Maybe.
No, I have too many demands on my time for that.
Yeah, you have better things, you have better things to do, right?
Yeah.
There's one thing I kind of do but I don't anymore. Just a person I know who I hate very much would like to punch the face. But if you don't like our stuff, cool, whatever. You don't follow us. But you seek us out to reply to stuff about us saying how the Rams are a shoo-in for the Big 12. Or they have a better chance than this team.
Nobody knows anything about the Big 12 situation. The Big 12 doesn't even know about its own situation at this point.
That's my point. My other job, yes, I do have a job where I actually do this similar type of stuff, so I know what I'm talking about. Nobody knows anything. We can connect the dots. Unless you know Bob Bowlesby very well, or David Boren, you kind of know what they're saying, but all we know is Rams are a finalist, which is amazing. At some level it is, because to be honest, their football success hasn't been amazing in about a decade. Outside of a couple years with Rashard Higgins, it hasn't been great.
They've had moments, but you know, like any other team trying to get into the Big 12, they're going to need a lot more sustained success. And you know, we know they have the new stadium coming, which is a big deal, in my opinion. They have recent success, which is kind of a big deal. You know, and I think that they have some expectations around them in the community, and that's, you know, a really pretty strong foundation, if you ask me. But like, when it comes to forecasting the Big 12,
good luck.
I mean, nobody knows anything about that.
Even like, I told people this before. Like people crapped on a radio show I do, my other job, where day before two, even minutes before, no expansion, nothing. From guys who know their stuff. They're getting their info from the ADs who assume no expansion or fine, but it's the president who makes the call. And I know for – well, I shouldn't say for a fact because like you said, you shouldn't. But connect the dots, ACC network, president see money, let's expand to 12. And then people make fun of like Chuck Carlton, Brett McMurphy, all these guys who cover these teams, Barry Trammell, Luke Holman. Oh, you guys are nothing. They're now expanding. Well, the info they got was good because the person who gave them the info figured that was best for the team, but they don't communicate with the president all the time. And so, like, president, AD, to source, like, it's a wishy-wash, but all we know, they're a finalist. And I've said from the beginning, if there's a TV network, they're in the running. If there's 14 teams, they're very well in the running. But we don't know. They've even said they're not going to expand. And so the guys who follow us and comment to us and say, whatever, you're terrible, you suck, I don't care what you guys think. Yes, we probably shouldn't reply back to everybody. But sometimes you want to get your point across. And the Rams have this. Hey, just Google Steve Fairchild, Rams fans, who are all uppity about being this amazing team. How about you win a Mountain West Conference championship in this decade? In this century, I believe. Or did they win in 2001, maybe? Did they win it in 2001, I think?
I believe it was 2000 was the last one.
And if I'm correct, that was a co-champion as well with the Utah and TCU, I want to say, maybe? Or BYU. I don't know, but here's the thing. Get over it. If you think what you want, we don't care. These guys probably aren't even listening, right? I'm assuming?
Probably not.
They seek us out just enough where you guys have 25 followers. Or the guys say, hey, I'm unfollowing you. Okay, cool. Whatever. I don't care. Okay, rant over. Game time. You ready?
Let's do this.
Actually, one more thing. Rams, I have a crying Jordan meme in my back pocket when you guys don't get in, okay?
That's just par for the course in today's internet etiquette.
That's simple. That's also simple, yes.
Everybody's got crying Jordans for everything these days.
Why not? So, but we'll get to the Rams game, which was very good this weekend. I don't care. You played Northern Colorado. You still did good. We will discuss on that because, hey, you cross some fingers. Yes, crossing fingers that you found a quarterback after a couple weeks. That's just weird. But game one to go to Friday night, Arkansas State, Utah State. I kind of poked my head in on this a little bit here and there because I was traveling. But Utah State, we heard before the game, Devontae Mays was dressing, warming up, ready to go. Did not play. So, and apparently they didn't need them. They're up 17-0, 24-0 at the half. I kind of tuned away when I actually got a chance to watch. I'm like, oh, it's over. Arkansas State made a pretty big comeback, 34-20. But who the heck is Tony Lindsay? Do you know that name?
Tony Lindsay?
Is it Tony or Tawny?
It's two N's, so I assume it's Tawny.
Sure, we'll go with Tawny. Do you know who that is now? Or pregame, did you know who that was?
Well, I knew that he had ran for, I believe he ran over 100 yards against Weber State 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, but Weber State, so I wasn't paying too much attention to that one.
So, I mean, you know, he was one of those guys that I expected to really kind of step up, even if Mays didn't play, and he did. You know, he went over 100 yards again.
Almost, well, 98, almost.
98.
Okay, close enough, whatever.
Looking at the game column on the box score. But, you know, he more importantly, he averaged a little over 5 yards a carry. And, you know, between him and Myers, they ran for like 150 yards. And that's the kind of thing that I think Utah State's going to have to lean on, you know, with or without Mays. You know, I think it's pretty well established at this point that they can move the ball on the ground. And even when Kent Myers doesn't have the best game throwing the football, which in this case he didn't, he was under 50% completion percentage, only had 136 yards, one touchdown, one INT. But, you know, they played solid defense and they ran the ball. And I think that overall, that's probably going to be their recipe for success this year.
It's probably. I assume Mays will be back. I'm wondering if they wanted to start the game to see how it went, because he dressed and everybody said he warmed up and was out there getting ready to play. I'm wondering if the game was closer earlier, they would have brought him in. Because Arkansas State, yes, they're 0-3, but like we said, they've won the Sun Belt multiple years in a row, and they played Auburn and Toledo the first 2 weeks.
So yeah, I mean, they've gotten kind of beat up, but you know, I think that, you know, Utah State, you know, they knocked Chad Wojtek out of the game, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm, yeah, he only had 2 of 6. He had to be replaced by Justice Hansen. I should say. Not Justice. I'm terrible with names, folks, if you don't know. Justice Hansen, I should say.
And, I mean, this is kind of one of those trends that, you know, comes up in a couple of games we'll talk about in a little bit. But especially in the first half, they put the Red Wolves really kind of behind the eight ball. Because if you look at the field position advantage that Utah State had in the first half, Utah State was starting at on average from their own 44-yard line. And Arkansas State was starting from their own 18. And, it, you know, it wasn't until the second half that really flipped around, where, you know, Arkansas State gained about 20 yards of field position and Utah State lost 20 yards of field position. But they were still able to hold them off. They created a few turnovers. And, like I said, I think that's kind of the recipe for success for the Aggies.
And their defense, like, there's that, but also their defense, man. We can't talk about them losing all the guys to NFL anymore. We're in week 4 coming up now, week 3 here. But they held the Red Wolves, also a ton of penalties, 18 for 129 against Arkansas State. That's ridiculous. They're +2, Utah State was, in turnover margin. Arkansas State was just 2 of 12 on third down. Utah State, not much better, 6 to 16, but everything was for Utah State. Yeah, backup QB comes in, but third down percentage against rushing yards against passing, Arkansas State did a little okay, partly because they had to throw in the second half. When they did make it interesting at one point. They were within, what, 2 scores in the third quarter, because they scored 14 to outscored the Aggies 14 to 3. But this, I did my ranking today or late this morning for the our Mountain West poll. I believe I put Utah State back up in the top 4 at number 4.
I'm pretty sure I had them at 5th.
Who'd you have at 4 then above them, besides the usual Air Force, Boise, San Diego State? Who was that other team?
I think I put Nevada in there as well.
Okay. They look good too. So I think I put Nevada. I think I flip-flopped that. But also, one thing quick to note, freshman Rayshon Lewis had the – I was going to kind of chuckle about this in the passing game. He had a long of 68-yard reception. That was half of the passing yards almost for Kent Myers.
It was almost nice.
Almost, yes. 2 for 73, but – running game looks to be fine, even if, like I said, Mays is out for a little while. Lindsey looks good. Juan Hunt had 10 carries like I kind of thought he would. Not very successful, but he's a guy who can get him a few yards. Even Damien Hobbs popped in for a couple carries. So move on to Saturday, to the opener game that nearly was an awesome upset. I guess upset.
Well, let's do it.
New Mexico and Rutgers. New Mexico, ooh. you had the victory in hand, 21-0, guys. How does this happen?
Big plays, man. Big plays.
And not having your best two players on the field as well.
I mean, if you look at the first quarter and you look at the rest of the game, I was able to watch most of this game, not all of it. New Mexico really just looked like two different teams. Like, but, you know, you could say they missed Dakota Cox, but man, you can't give up that many big plays to a team like Rutgers and expect to get away with it, because they had the big, you know, kickoff or the big punt return for a touchdown, give up an 80-yard touchdown run on the ground,
gave up a
75-yard pass from Chris Laviano to Juwan Harris. You know, if you want to win games, you can't let your opponent back into the game, especially like that.
Yeah, and Robert Martin, that 80-yard run, he averaged 8 yards a carry.
Yeah, and I mean, I was kind of surprised that you saw them doing the quarterback shuffle too, especially after kind of the success that Apodaca had in the first couple weeks. But, you know, if you look at his box score, he just didn't have it. You know, he was completed about a third of his passes, and he had, you know, one touchdown, one interception. They just weren't able to hit on that many big plays, I don't think.
Well, that's what Taron Gibson does, and I kind of suspected Lamar Jordan would come in to get more carries. I didn't expect him to pass as much, but I only got to see about the first half of this game, so I didn't see the kind of falling apart in the second half. Well, I guess second quarter you do a little bit, but I saw when it was a good game for the most part. Like, pretty, it's still close, but when New Mexico is rolling, but I assumed Jordan would get in for some carries, but throwing as much as he did was kind of a shocker to me. But Gibson has the big play capability, and that is what they missed. Jordan had that big 52-yard touchdown run. They had a couple, like Tyron Owens did pretty good. Running game overall was okay for New Mexico standard. They average over 5 yards a carry, almost 300 yards, which is right about what they do. But Gibson is the guy that will bust off 80-yard plays. He'll get three plays over 40 yards almost every game, it seems like. And without him, that's a big deal.
Yeah, and I mean, in this game too, this was really the first instance where they ran into lots of trouble trying to extend drives. Like, if you kind of chart the trajectory and the third down conversions from week to week, it's trended downwards. Where, you know, at the moment, they're next to last in the Mountain West in third down conversion percentage, but they were only 3 of 15 in this game. And for a team that really thrives on, you know, dictating the tempo of the game, you know, winning the time of possession game, which they did in this game, you know, they had the ball for 38 minutes, but in the 21 minutes that Rutgers had the football, they were able to exploit this defense.
Yeah, they did, and then it's just a game where it's like, I kind of like being this close. I was very surprised it got out that of a start because losing Gibson, but it's Rutgers isn't great. But again, they go on the road. This is normally New Mexico, if they gave up like what they did in the second quarter, 21 points, they'd have been blown out. When's the last time you see New Mexico go out to a 21-0 lead against even anybody? They struggled versus New Mexico State, who had backups in there.
Yeah, I mean, especially in a situation where you're on the road like that. And, you know, another thing to point out, too, is this was really the first instance where the offensive line struggled. Like, you said that they, you know, they did average 5 yards on the ground, but Rutgers was able to put together 9 tackles for loss. Mm-hmm. And that kind of that just about doubled the tackles for loss that the Lobos allowed in the season thus far.
Well, New Mexico State and South Dakota, so it's like it's going to be a step up, but it's still a lot in one game.
I mean, it's a lot, especially, you know, because Rutgers is probably not going to be any great chicks in the Big Ten, right? Nope. So, you know, that's something that they'll probably be kicking themselves over for a while.
Yeah, you'd think, we'll wrap this up really quick. I got one note on Gibson because he may have some legal issues, but with their offense, you're up 21-0. How do they not, like, I know you said offensive line struggled, they got tackles for loss, but with their offensive line, or offensive running game and line, even without Gibson, Jordan filled him very well, running him for 14 times, so over 100 yards. You'd think time possession would be in their favor. It's just, like you said, third down conversion, you couldn't get it done. But with that lead, with this type of offense, like if Navy has a big lead, Georgia Southern with a big lead, or Air Force with a big lead like this, they would be able to move the ball efficiently, hold the clock in their favor to get the win. But
yeah, I mean, especially in that first half, because New Mexico had the ball for 22 and a half minutes in the first half.
Jeez.
Rutgers only had it for 7.5 minutes.
What was the game final? I don't have that in front of me.
Well,
I got to hear 38-21 still. Jeez.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, big plays.
Yeah.
You can't give them up, you know, and especially if New Mexico wants to contend for the Mountain Division title, they're going to have to fix that because there are teams in this division that can make them pay if they aren't ready.
Exactly. And one quick note on Gibson. He's out with the concussion protocol. He could be out longer. No update from what I can tell at this time Sunday afternoon, but he got busted for a misdemeanor, gun possession, and marijuana. decided to not tell the coaching staff, take it upon himself to just kind of go through the system to get it done. So he might be, even once he's healthy, might be not around for a while. Because Bob Davies known to, you did something wrong, you're sidelined for some sort of punishment, usually comes pretty quickly. Then once it goes through, he may lighten it up or adjust what might actually be done to the punishment. So he could be out for a while, depending what sticks or what Bob Davies does. Because not telling the coach, not that you have to, but probably a pretty good idea to let him know, like, hey, there might be some issues coming my way because of something dumb I did a few months ago.
Got to make good choices out there.
Exactly. Did we make a good choice by recording tonight?
Yes.
Excellent. Okay. I wish we had a video here to put up the photo you had for your Toledo winning over Fresno State 52-17. Take the floor.
Are we here already?
Take the floor.
This was not a pretty game. You know, if you read a lot of my recaps from 2015, it kind of looked a lot like that. You know, the offense basically had nothing going for it for the better part of three quarters. And the defense gave up more big plays than they had in the first couple of weeks. And by the time they found an answer, it was already well too late. And, you know, the defense, to be fair, in that first half, because the offense wasn't giving them any kind of help whatsoever, you know, the defense was putting, had a lot of pressure put on them. Like they had, I think I mentioned in one of the comments afterwards that, you know, starting from about midway through the first quarter until early in the third quarter, you know, Toledo had seven straight drives, that started at least their 40-yard line. And when you're faced with that kind of situation continually, it's a no-win situation. It doesn't matter how good your defense is. And Toledo's a team that was explosive enough to exploit the holes in the coverage and everything like that. Logan Woodside, you know, his box score wasn't the greatest. You know, he was only 15 of 26, but, you know, he found a few plays down the field and he did throw four touchdown passes. A couple of them looked a little too easy. And they didn't have an answer for the ground game either. Like, Kareem Hunt had his best game of the year for the Rockets. He had 126 yards in his score. They gave up 6 yards carry on the ground and had no answer for it. Again, you know, Dontell James, I still like his potential, but the offensive line is just not getting it done.
Okay, a couple of things I want to point out here that you can just yell at me to shut up if you want.
Okay.
Zero for third. 13.
Yes.
Third down conversion there. 12 penalties for 138.
Yeah. That second one especially shocked me because, you know, for all the problems that Fresno State's had over the last couple of years, they've never been what you would call undisciplined. And I had to go back and look up the last time something like that happened, and it wasn't – you had to go all the way back to 2001 to find a number that high as far as penalty yards. But I think you were kind of seeing a team that was losing its cool. Like, the one image that stands out to me is there was one instance kind of later in the second quarter where Delvon Hardaway was called for, I believe, an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. And I think it's just because the offense was getting frustrated pretty much every turn. Like, it seemed like at least once every drive, Chase and Virgil was being flushed out of the pocket and he just had to throw it away because nothing was happening. And
so what's with the QB situation now? Zach Klein came in. Was it just because it's a blowout, get him a couple throws?
I'm honestly not quite sure because he was in there for like a drive. And then Virgil came out and then he had that long touchdown pass to Jameer Jordan in the fourth quarter. I don't know if it was a matter of just trying to give him a breather or if they were just trying to put Klein in there to make something happen. But, you know, I haven't heard anything as of yet as to whether they're going to reopen the quarterback situation. I honestly don't think, you know, his numbers don't look pretty, mind you. But, you know, he wasn't trying to make plays where there weren't any, which I think is something you could say. You know, a lot of those incompletions that he threw were just he was throwing out of bounds because there was nothing there. And for a young quarterback like that to make those kinds of decisions is a positive. But, you know, he was under duress pretty much all afternoon. Toledo had 5 sacks. They had 11 tackles for loss. And, you know, he can only do so much. And so I'm really hoping they don't reopen the quarterback situation. I think that they basically have to just ride or die with him.
So let me ask you this, because we talked about this before. This blowout's like, we knew Fresno probably was not close, probably not going to a bowl game preseason-wise. We figured 4 to 5 wins might be the case. I know it's expensive, we talked about before, but where is Tim Drudor sitting in his status as head coach?
Well, I think every game he loses like this, his seat gets hotter.
So Tulsa next week. Tulsa has an offense probably similar, if not better, than Toledo. What if the outcome is the same?
If the outcome is the same, then we're basically having the same discussion next week that we're having right now.
Well, I just mean people have listened to, or know our stuff, know our opinion. I think Drudor is very close to being gone. You say no, partly because of the expense that it would cost to get rid of him. Is it worth the money to not have your head beaten in and start looking for somebody else midseason?
I don't think they can afford it. And the only reason I think that is because, I mean, there's more at stake here than just wins and losses. You know, the program is in the middle of trying to renovate Bulldog Stadium. They're in the middle of fundraising and everything like that. And so if you're trying to just keep fan interest up, it's kind of a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. Like, if you fire the head coach, you're kind of giving up on the season and kind of letting things play out as they may. If you stick with Drudor and he keeps losing games by 4 touchdowns like this, I mean, honestly, I don't know that it's any better, but, you know, his buyout right now is, I believe, like $3 million.
And he still has 2 years left, right? He's through 2018.
And that's a significant investment for a team with the budget that Fresno State has.
Yeah, and there's a reason Fresno's playing Oregon, all these road games, Nebraska, to get money. Like, they stack their schedule for these money. Not this year as much, but they're stacking their schedule to basically break even almost.
Yeah, I mean, if they lose this game to Tulsa next week, and we'll talk more about that later this week, but I don't know, man.
It's tough. You going to find a new team? No, I'm sorry. No.
I can't do that, but it could get ugly.
Let's just say this. Your recaps need to be more creative, even though the one guy didn't appreciate it over the weekend.
I will do my best. I promise you that.
I'm just saying. It's like, you got to have fun with it if they end up being, which I hope, I'm not saying I want them to be, but any games like this, you got to have some fun with it. Laugh in your misery, I guess I should say, unfortunately. I've been there with teams I follow, so let's move on. UNLV Central Michigan, are we replaying the 2015 UNLV schedule again, pretty much?
Maybe.
Maybe. You know, maybe.
They're competitive for about a half, and then teams just pull away.
Exactly. 44-21. UNLV tumbles, outscored in the second half 16-0. Johnny Stanton was stellar. Stellar, I might add you. 15-41.
That might be a problem.
That's 30%?
Yeah, just about.
No, right? Not even.
Yeah, I guess it's... Yeah, but, you know, I think what it comes down to is, you know, this is still very much a work in progress. I think I've basically been wearing that message out for the last couple of weeks.
Play the hits, man.
Yeah, but I mean... They still have pieces in place. You know, the guys that they expect to produce are the ones that have kind of been producing. You know, Lexington Thomas, I think we can say he's, you know, he should be in that conversation of good running backs that the Mountain West has produced in the last few years. You know, he went over 100 yards again. He had a touchdown, and he averaged over 6.5 yards per carry. That's part of the good, you know.
Can I be negative on that real quick?
Yes.
He had a long of 85. Not that it's negative, but take that out. He's like, 12 for 35?
That's true.
So just putting it out there, like, you want to look at all angles. It's great. He got the production. He got the touchdown. Broke off a big play. But sometimes big plays are not lucky, but stuff has to happen right, which clearly did. But you want to balance it out a little bit just to let people know. So it's like he's done well before, too. It's not like it's a fluke. But I'm just pointing out there that he had one gigantic run, which inflated his average and his total yards and everything. It all counts, but it's not like he's getting 5 yards every time he touched the ball. He had one big play that was basically stifled for the most part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, on the defensive side, you know, Darius Mouton had a couple pass breakups. You know, Ryan McAleenan had a fumble recovery. So, you know, there were guys on their defense, you know, this kind of the stars of the defense that were making plays. But, you know, at some point, you know, again, this passing game has been a little rough for a couple weeks now. You know, Stanton was a little bit worse than he was last week against UCLA. The flip side of that is that it seems like, he, you know, some of these weapons that are developing, these, you know, freshmen and redshirt freshmen that are coming in to these starting roles, you know, Mekhi Stevenson had 5 catches, 48 yards, which isn't bad. You know, Darren Woods Jr. had a touchdown, had a few catches. So,
do you, was there an issue with Devontae Boyd? No catches. I'm looking real cap at the recap from Review Journal. No mention of his name at all. Was he out of this game or something? Because I didn't get a chance to check this game out too much. I had a lot of things going on, checked in here and there, but no mention of him in the 5 takeaways, which you'd think that's a pretty big takeaway. No reception, so I don't know if there's a... I'll look it up right now, but I didn't know if you happen to stumble across something.
No, I'm checking Taylor Burns' recap of the game from the Las Vegas Sun, and he just says he didn't get a single catch. So he may have been targeted a few times, okay, but just didn't haul any in.
That can't happen for that type of receiver who's NFL, probably going to be taken at some point in the NFL draft, maybe late. You can't, mm-hmm, you can't have a game where you have no receptions.
Maybe not.
But I mean, doesn't look good on your resume.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, they're going to have to work out some of their defensive issues too, because they gave up, you know, a few long drives to the Chippewas. You know, their first touchdown drive was 6 plays, 75 yards. And then kind of later in the first half, they had drives of 80 and 82 yards against this defense. So, you know, while they have pieces in play, you know, this is still, I think, an instance where their depth is being tested, first of all. But they're just not a complete team yet. So I don't think that they're able to put together a complete 60 minutes. But to me, I think that there are some signs that you could be encouraged by.
It's getting there. Their pass rush is still pretty terrible. They're on pace for 8 sacks, which was less than last year when they had 9. But you're right. Depth's a big issue. You have your best receiver who's really good. You got to get him some catches.
Mm-hmm.
They do have injuries at the receiver. So with him, with Boyd being his coverage, what it was, and not able to haul in passes, they don't have many guys out there who are experienced. I think, what did we mention? 5 of the 6 were redshirt or true freshmen on their deep depth chart, 2 deep, 3 wide out set.
Yeah, so they're learning on the job, but I think that, you know, they came in with a little bit of pedigree, and, you know, there will be some growing pains, but I think, you know, even though the overall box score doesn't look great for the Rebels, you know, those freshmen are only going to get better as time passes.
Yeah, and there's also Central Michigan might be the MAC champions. So
they're definitely in the conversation, and you can say that they hung with them for a half at least, you know?
Yeah, Cooper Rush, 6 TDs. Yeah, it's they could be the MAC champs. So let's go to the next game really quick. You're now ranked San Diego State Aztecs. First time ranked in 21 years, I want to say. Was it 1995?
1995.
21 years, first time ranked AP poll. Coaches poll, still coming around, not quite there yet. They played Northern Illinois, who apparently they hate the Mountain West.
They can't catch a break, man.
They've lost, I think, 4 or 5 in a row against this conference, going back to, as far as I remember, when Utah State beat them in the Poinsettia Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, this is another instance where San Diego was just kind of playing their game, and that was all there was to it. You know, they played excellent defense. They held, you know, an NIU to just 3 of 14 on third downs. They, you know, had basically, well, they had a, how many turnovers did they have in this game? They forced 2 interceptions from Ryan Graham.
Backup QB, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, San Diego State's a good team, and they did what good teams usually do to bad teams, and, you know, sorry Northern Illinois fans out there, but it's been kind of a rough start for y'all so far.
Yeah, it was again, +1, or San Diego State is actually, no, they're +1, yeah, so just the 2 INTs.
Yeah, and again, Donnell Pumphrey.
Whew.
He's having himself a year so far, isn't he?
221, his second consecutive 500 yards, I believe, combined the past 2 games. 3 touchdowns. He did have a long of 79, but even at that rate, if you take that away, still 20, it'd be what, 22 for like 140. Still 7 yards a carry.
Yeah. You know, and even Christian Chapman had a pretty good game as well. You know, he was, you know, 11 of 19, 126 yards, three scores.
See, the difference between, like, I don't want to harp back to Maxwell Smith, but he, Chapman, 11 of 19, okay, not great, but the yardage, okay. The touchdowns is where there's a difference. I don't think Maxwell Smith got in the end zone enough last year for my liking. And with him being able to find touchdowns, passing touchdowns, that makes the offense that more – it's probably a good reason why Pumphrey's doing as well as he is.
Yeah, and I mean, especially since they gave him a few chances in the red zone, it looks like. You know, he had the five-yard touchdown to
Kalali Warning.
Yeah, Kalali Warning. So I think, you know, they know that, you know, opponents are going to know that they can pound the ball in inside the five or something like that if they want to. But, you know, the fact that Chapman shows that he can, you know, put a, you know, stack the line and then throw over the top for a touchdown in the red zone is something that's a really encouraging sign for the Aztecs, I think.
Yeah, and then also Rashad Penny had 65 yards on the ground. So it's just a great win. They're ranked, 22nd? Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, 22nd. 22 there. Is I like not to be a homer for the league, but when is – I know USA Today loves Donald Pumphrey. Is he really going to be in the legitimate chance to be a finalist at least for the Heisman Trophy?
Well, you know, if he's running for 200 yards every week, I don't see why not.
Where did you put the Aztecs in your power poll this week?
Oh, I had him number one.
You did last week?
Yes.
I made the switch to to put them number one this week. So you hear that, Aztec fans? You're number one for me.
Vindicated.
Hopefully. Don't lose next week now or something. Crap. All right, next game real quick. UC Davis, Wyoming. We'll spend about a couple minutes on this, really. Brian Hill. Hey, I like this Brian Hill. 200 yards on the ground again. Two touchdowns. Big win.
And no turnovers.
Yes, Josh Allen. Thumbs up to you.
Yeah, 11 of 15, 198 yards, three touchdowns. You know, that's kind of the game that Wyoming wants to play. Like, they want to – okay, excuse me. He did have one fumble that he lost.
Take it back. I'm taking it all back.
But, you know, this is – you know, that's kind of, I think, Wyoming's game going forward is they use the run to set up the pass. And they were able to do it against a team that they should have beaten in UC Davis, and they did so comfortably. But I think the other thing you can keep an eye on is that, you know, the defensive line had a pretty good game as well. You know, Carl Granderson had a sack, and he had 2.5 tackles for a loss. So, you know, I think he's the guy who could possibly be the next big playmaker at the defensive end spot.
Taking over Eddie Yarborough's spot.
Exactly.
Yeah, the rushing game, like, same thing with that line. Under 3 yards an attempt, passing game did well defensively. So that's all I need to say. Good one for Wyoming. Bounce back here, 2-1. And they lose to Nebraska, whatever. It's just the late in that game has just made me a bad taste in my mouth with Josh Allen getting frustrated and just forcing, four interceptions in that final frame or something. But another FCS game. Hey, Colorado State, 47. Northern Colorado, 21. Good job, Rams.
Good job, Colin Hill, starting quarterback Colin Hill.
Yeah, I don't care who you played. The way the quarterback situation has gone, you had to have a game like this. You had to.
21 of 27, 315 yards, four touchdowns.
Do you know who Marvin Kinsey Jr. is?
I do not.
Never heard of him. We should know now. 97 yards and a touchdown running the ball.
That is true.
Freshman running back.
I mean, I think this game, too, is not only a boost for the fact that, you know, they seem to have solved their quarterback situation right now, but the receivers had a chance to finally step up, too. You know, Olabisi Johnson had 3 catches, but he had a touchdown. Xavier Williams had 91 yards on 4 catches. You know, everybody who caught a pass caught at least a 10-yard pass.
It's very good.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, this is a team that I think I've said this before, but they want to be balanced. And, you know, while Northern Colorado is not the greatest team in the world, they showed that they could run and pass. And as the schedule gets a little more difficult in the weeks to come, you know, that's something that opponents are going to have to account for.
Yeah, and this is also a game, like, not to make light of it, but receivers haven't had a chance to catch a ball. Like, they were, six completions last week? What was Fountain Bot, a 6-20 or something like that? It's something terrible. And so it's a good sign. Like I said, I don't care who you're playing. If you have quarterback issues, this will get you out of your slump. Plus, true freshman, confidence, knowing he can make these type of plays. And Northern Colorado's 2-1. They're 2-0 heading into this, but schedule will get tougher. But running game was kind of an issue for me because Izzy Matthews was doing okay. And Marvin Kinsey has been part of the offense for a while and for the first couple of games doing backup work. But this could have been – I didn't watch this game really just because I saw it get out of hand. I'm like, good for them. Because it's what, 38-0 at the half. It's good for them for what they're doing. And so we'll see if it continues next week. But let's got to hustle longer. I got to apparently go in a few minutes. But Buffalo, Nevada, where did that come from?
Wherever it came from, they needed it. And I'm glad that they got it.
They were dominating. They won 38-14. They bring out the triple option, multiple quarterbacks, and it worked well. That never happens. It never works well when you mix in a new scheme, new play set, and a new quarterback running the offense at times. That, I don't know.
The new old running Wolfpack, you know, they ran for 352 yards as a team, 5.5 yards per carry, 4 touchdowns on the ground. That's a pretty good job for against any defense.
And they threw pretty well. Tyler Stewart, 16-21 for 160 in the score. They're efficient. They move the ball. They, when's the last time you seen Jackson, J-A-X-S-O-N? That's a new spelling for me. Almost 100 yards, buddy. Good job.
Yeah, so, I mean, if they have, you know, the guy behind Butler who can be a running threat as well, I think that that makes this team a little bit better. And on the opposite end, the defense probably had its best game of the year. Mm-hmm. You know, we talked about Buffalo coming into this game with more than one quarterback. Tyree Jackson ended up getting the vast majority of the playing time.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's a freshman. He did not have the best game. He was only 7 of 22.
He ran pretty well, though, but that's about it.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, Nevada held them in check, even if, you know, the tackle for loss numbers don't exactly jump off the page. The secondary played well. You know, Asani Rufus had a pass breakup. Jaden Sawyer had a couple pass breakups. So, you know, this was a good win overall for the Wolfpack.
Also, Asani Rufus, also quarterback, had at least one run for 3 yards. So, poor man to Eric Weddle, I'll call it right now, when he played at Utah. which is not a bad thing to be called, if that's the case. Yeah, the big win. I was Nevada back at your second team of the division, or are you still with San Jose State?
I mean, I think from week to week, it's kind of neck to neck, but Nevada's the one with 2 wins so far, so go with them for now.
All right, we will do that. So that's, again, I got to wrap it up here, but that's a good victory for Nevada. It's hard. We play Notre Dame, and then you play an FCS team like Cal Poly. I'm leaning toward this being more likely than Nevada team than we saw against the first two games. Buffalo's not great, but I think I just think the shock of going OT versus FCS team and then basically crapping the bed against Notre Dame.
Yeah, so, but they rebounded at home, which was kind of what you need to do if you're a competitor in this league.
Exactly. Next game is the let me scroll back up here because it's one of my favorite games, according to ESPN. Utah, San Jose State. Holy crap, Spartans. That rush defense played well in the first quarter.
Yeah, Utah won 34-17, but from what I saw this game, this was a real slugfest.
Yeah, 3 field goals in the first quarter. If I recall, San Jose State held Utah, I think what they said, 4 rushing yards for Utah in the first quarter. They blew it open in the second quarter with Zach Moss, had a big 51-yarder. I don't think that was a touchdown, but they scored later on. But first quarter, 6-3, they're in the running. It's 20-10 at the half. Utah's kind of finally got their ground game going. They didn't get over 200 yards, 5 yards of carry. But then again, Troy Williams, sack yardage, minus 28. So they actually ran a bit better than that. But there were signs that San Jose State looked pretty good in spurts of this game.
Yeah, I mean, they dealt some punishment, I think, on the defensive line. But at the same time, Kenny Potter took a lot of punishment in this game, too.
10 total sacks.
Yeah. That is a problem. I mean, I know that we talked about Utah State's defensive line being particularly good compared to their recent history of success, but this was like something else entirely. You know, Potter actually got knocked out of the game at some point.
He did leave with an injury. Not specified, but after the game, head coach Ron Carragher says he'll be fine. So it could have been, you're hurt, we don't want any more punishment, because you've been sacked, I think you're sacked six times before he left?
Seven?
Okay. So maybe it's like, we don't want you hurt more, so.
So, I mean, you know, if you look at the combined numbers that he and Josh Love put up, like, it's pretty good overall. You know, they were 21 of 39 combined, two touchdowns. You know, they had two interceptions, which was problematic, but, you know, at the same time, the running game kind of disappeared again. You know, Deontay Cooper only had 45 yards total. Kenny Potter was actually the team's second leading rusher.
Uh-oh.
Before he got knocked out, he had 20 yards. And, you know, I think, I don't know that they have the playmakers at wide receiver to really keep up, you know, even with, you know, a team against a team like Utah that, you know, probably isn't the most explosive team in the Pac-12, but they were able to kind of keep the Spartans at bay.
Yeah, for me being a Utah guy, this is pretty good to see Troy Williams actually throw the ball well.
Mm-hmm.
And so, which he hasn't been the best thrower, and which is kind of surprising because the Spartan secondary is usually pretty good. They did pick him off once, but he went 20-28 for 257. It's hard. This Utah front seven is very difficult to go against. I'm not surprised the running game struggled after they figured it out in the first quarter. But I still give a ton of credit because Kenny Potter moved the ball. Yeah, his yardage was not very good, only 65 yards. But he's finding Billy Freeman for a 30-yard pass. He's finding the guys downfield a little bit and passing okay, like not the yardage-wise. But the first quarter, this San Jose State team looked really good. But after that, Utah figured out the better talent, better coach, obviously, in my opinion. He's been around for a decade plus at Utah. Utah's just more players. And one thing to note as well, which made a big deal, not that it matters for Spartans fans, but Utah got back wide receiver Corey Butler-Bird, been suspended, 5 catches, 66 yards. So he came in right away, didn't miss a beat against a pretty good secondary.
Yeah, I mean, you know, hopefully they'll recuperate enough to get back to full strength by next week. But, you know, they took some punishment in this game. But I think that, again, you know, there are some bright spots that you can build upon. Like Frank Ginda, again, had a very good game at linebacker for them. 11 tackles, 1.5 tackles for loss, and 1 sack. You know, Andre Chachere had 3 pass breakups in the secondary. So, you know, the stars played well.
Mm-hmm. But Trey Hartley, 4 for 81 receiver, so that's the good news. They went downfield passing. They had a 52-yarder, 46-yarder, 30-yarder, a 20-yarder. They're going downfield, so that's good as well for passing game eventually.
Yeah, and Maurice McKnight had a very nice-looking interception in the end zone as well.
All right, let's move on to the final game really quick. Travelpalooza continues for Hawaii, going to Arizona. 47-28, not even close. I didn't bother to watch this game because Pac-12 Network I don't have, so... Dual quarterbacks.
I watched most of it.
What did you think?
The story of the game to me is that Hawaii's defense just kind of took a big step backwards overall. Yeah, so, I mean, when you're giving up 7 yards per carry on the ground and, you know, 8 yards a carry to the quarterback, when you're getting fooled continually on the read option play, especially because Brandon Dawkins had 120 yards, 3 scores on the ground, and then he had, you know, 1 touchdown through the air. This defense just didn't challenge them all that much, and Arizona was able to put this game away pretty quickly because Kaika Woolsey was more or less the same quarterback he's always been. You know, he was under 50% for his completion percentage, 1 touchdown, 1 interception, you know, only 117 yards, and you saw a little more Drew Brown. And he kind of brought the offense to life. Like, this, you know, this is another team that has nice pieces if they can get the ball to them. And I think Drew Brown was able to do that a little more than Woolsey was in this game. You know, John Ursua is having a very nice year. He had, you know, 83 yards and a score. Marcus Kemp, who we all liked, I think, coming into the year, had 81 yards. But
John Ursa is stepping up again, 5 for 83 and a score.
Yeah. But you're again,
right. Bits and pieces are here and there.
Yes, and this is, like I said, another work in progress, but the defense, you know, maybe it's the travel, but they just did not have a good game on Saturday night.
It's tough. Offense has some potential there, but we'll see. I don't know. They host Nevada next week for one of those late kickoffs, but at least for us out here, 9 on the West Coast. But we'll see what they do at QB. They may switch around because they've been talking about Drew Brown. Maybe this is the game to get him in to play longer. and be the starter. But if their defense was okay, I'd give more of a chance at some of these games. Because versus Cal, they looked okay offensively. For whatever Michigan, that's terrible. This game, like I said, there's bits and pieces that were good on offense, but not enough.
Yeah, and I mean, they did force 6 tackles for loss on defense, so there were moments. Like, this team has talent on defense. That's not what I'm saying, you know. I'm starting to like Jelani Tavai a little more from week to week. Jamal Mayo had a tackle for a loss. But it's going to take more of a team effort, and it's going to be really interesting to see how they respond once they're more or less on a regular schedule, mm-hmm. you know, going back and forth to the West Coast as opposed to flying all around the country.
Yeah. All right, like I said, got Nevada next week. This is pretty much our show here because I get cracking and get out of here for a minute. But any last thoughts you have really quick about the week?
No, I think I'm good.
All right, then. That's our show for this evening. Check us out at Blog Talk Radio. That's it's actually working well now, so I actually give it a thumbs up as I did something else earlier tonight. I forget what, but check us out there. Give us a review on iTunes, Stitcher. We're on SoundCloud. Just listen to our show. Share it. I don't care if you listen or not. I don't care if you follow us on Twitter or not. We'd appreciate it. Colorado State fans, a small minority of you. I'm not going to respond anymore probably, so you can go do what you're doing. And Big 12, hey, if they get in, that would be great for them, wouldn't it, Matt?
I think so.
Probably not going to happen, but we'll see. That's our show for tonight. I want one last little bit about CSU talk, but they're not listening. So all the good fans, or let's see, respectable fans, you guys get 2 thumbs up for me. So that's our show tonight. MWCConnection.com is our little website. Check us out there, and we will see you guys next week.